do this stuff 24/7. And that's the life of a pastor. So if you would, and you might say, how do you know? I know it, there's not much I know. I know a couple of things. I know that, okay? And so I would encourage you, just pray every day for John and Christine, because they are like the epitome of, when the Bible talks about pastors, they're the epitome of what that means. They're the exact picture of what that is. And we are very blessed to have them leading and pastoring this church family. Amen? So please pray for them daily. Okay, let's get into the word. How many of you like roller coaster rides? All right, a few of you. Okay, so this is a pre-warning. There are a number of phases in the roller coaster ride. And today may be a little bit like a roller coaster ride for you. And I tell you that because at some point you may be at the stage where you want to unbuckle and get out. But you can't do that mid-ride, okay? Because that causes very serious injury. So today I'd like to share with you something that I believe is a challenge that we need to address in the body of Christ. And there are, of course, many challenges, many things that we'd like to do better, many things we want to grow in and mature in. But if I were to share and ask you a question, what is the one thing the body of Christ needs to do to another level right now? I'm sure everyone would have an opinion, right? Some people say, well, they need to teach on the end times better. That'd be some people's opinion. Some people would say, oh, we just need more fivefold ministries. If we had more fivefold ministries, the church would be great, America would be saved, and we could all go to heaven. Some people would say, oh, there's just too much abuse by leaders. And some leaders would say there's too much abuse of leaders. Some people would say there's a mismanagement of church funds. Some people say the biggest problem is that people don't give into the church, so there can't be that much mismanagement. Some people say the problem is fear of commitment. Some people would say the problem is racial division, the role of women, the woke ministry, the flat earth movement. All of this stuff touches the church. And there's a never-ending list of things that we could say, well, that's the problem with the church, isn't it? Here's the reality. All of those things may be right. But I'd like to share with you what I feel is the greatest challenge the church faces. And here's the thing. If we don't speak about our challenges, we'll never grow in them, right? See, I have personal challenges in my life. For example, I like my bed more than I like the workout room. That's a challenge. But if I just lay in bed all day thinking about, well, the workout room, that's a great place to be. I hope the guys there are really enjoying it. I'm not going to overcome the challenge that I need to overcome. I need to move from one place into another, right? And it starts with me thinking about what this issue is and then putting that thought into action. And I'm sure you have areas of your life where you say, well, yeah, I've got this challenge in my life. Maybe it's what you watch on TV, what you watch on the internet, what you eat, where you go, what comes out of your mouth when you're driving. It could be a number of things, but there are challenges when we're over here, but we're not going to get to that place unless we do something with what we know, correct? Okay, so that's what I believe it's like with the body of Christ. But I want to mention this. As I share about a challenge that I believe the church has, it's also a very personal challenge because I believe it's a challenge every one of us have that puts our bum in the church as well, that sits on a seat in church. So it's not just, this is not one of those sermons where you could think, oh, this is just for the church worldwide, so I can just sit back, relax, enjoy my coffee, have a breath mint, and I can be out of here in 30 or 40 minutes. This one, I hope, is going to poke you right in the eye. And if not, it'll make you want to undo your buckle and get off the roller coaster at some point. But here's the great thing. There are moments on roller coaster rides that are absolutely incredible. We'll have those moments as well. All right? I promise you. All right. So I believe one of the greatest challenges and hurdles we face as individuals and as the body of Christ is growing up. It's maturing. We've just prayed over a young lady here who has gone through elementary school and middle school and high school and now graduating to college, to university. Here's what I've noticed through the years. A lot of people in the body of Christ struggle to get out of elementary school or middle school. And we need, if we're going to be effective in society, if we're going to make a difference in our region, in our nations, in our churches, in our areas, in our families, we have to learn to grow up and mature. And so that's what I'm going to speak on this morning. So just do your buckle up because there's no getting out. Well, there is, but you know, just do your buckle up and let's enjoy the ride. And I think it's going to be okay. We're going to read from Hebrews chapter 6. So if you'd like to open your Bible at Hebrews chapter 6 and the first couple of verses there, we're going to bounce around some other verses as well. This is where we're going to start. Hebrews chapter 6, starting at verse 1. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying once again a foundation of repentance from dead works and a faith towards God, of instructions about washings and laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. The writer to the Hebrews is very clear here. He says, let us press on to maturity. In other words, getting from where you are to a place of maturity, it speaks of there's some effort that's going to be required there. There's a pressing on that's going to happen. The Bible talks a lot about pressing. It talks about pressing grapes and pressing olives and pressing situations. And when a pressing happens, what happens is whatever's being pressed gets crushed. And it goes from one form to another, but it takes a pressing and a crushing for the goodness in something to come out. Like, I love olives. It's one of my favorite snacks, is olives. But do you know, we have in our house, we have two things. We have olives in the fridge, which I like to snack on, a couple of my kids do. And then we have olive oil on the side. And olive oil doesn't just form by saying, olive in the name of Jesus, become olive oil. Or by any other crazy kind of Christian way of doing it. What happens to the olives for olive oil to form? You have to press it. You have to crush it. So Talia, my daughter, she is a baker extraordinaire. And she's always looking for new things to make. Well, the other day she came to me and Darlene and said, Daddy, Mummy, we should make our own almond milk. I said, okay, we should we? All right. But they have it in the store, baby. They've got like 10 different types of almond milk and all these different things. You can buy like whole almond milk and organic almond milk and all these different. We don't need to spend all that time and effort. But Daddy, we should make our own almond milk because it'd be really good to do it. She said, and I've looked into how to do it. And she told me all how to do it. And making almond milk involves pressing and crushing and breaking down and damaging and apparently totally changing the form of the almond so it goes from a solid crunch, that's nice, to a slurp, I'm not sure about that. I'm not a huge almond milk fan, okay, but that's what happens if you want to get into maturity. It takes a pressing, a crushing, a changing. And that's why I say this could get a bit bumpy, because some of you are quite comfortable where you are. Well, I've been this way for 40 years and I'm doing quite well. Now, you wouldn't say it in an English accent like that, but you would say it in your voice, okay? But if we want to get into maturity, if we want to grow up in the Lord, it takes multiple seasons and times of allowing the Holy Spirit to press us and to crush us and to reform us. It's like the picture we get in Jeremiah of the potter's wheel. It takes that potter spinning that wheel around and forming and changing and molding. And that's what God wants to do with us. And I want to encourage us today. Let's embrace the journey of maturing so that we can be all God wants us to be. Amen? You all seem pretty happy so far. Well, on a roller coaster ride, they usually start, you kind of sit in the car. And you buckle up, you say, how are you? Nice to meet you. How are you? Nice to meet you. And it starts with that gentle ascent, doesn't it? And you hear this kind of almost therapeutic click, 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 as you go up. Oh, this is very nice. Oh, my goodness me. I feel quite comfortable here. This is the place we are right now on the ride, okay? Oh, I'm really enjoying this. I wish that guy in the front was a bit shorter so I could see over a little bit, but I guess I'll see over him in a moment. Oh, is that your house over there? No, I live over there. Oh, I see. I think I see your house. This is so exciting. I'm just loving this roller coaster ride. Click, 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 click. We just climb. That's what we are doing right now, okay? Just in case you were wondering, that's the part we're at the moment. So the Greek word that the writer to the Hebrews uses here for maturity is the word teleotes. And it literally means, it describes a process of something going from incomplete to completion. A full growth process, both morally, emotionally, and spiritually. It means to be mature and fully developed, fully grown, something that's brought to its end, finished and wanting of nothing. Do you remember the last words of Jesus on the cross? Just before he breathed his last breath, he said these words, "It is finished." It's the same word that's translated right here that he used. It is what I've been called to do has matured to where it needed to be at. It is done. And he breathes, says, after that, he says he breathed his last breath. I don't know if any of you like to read the Amplified Bible. When Darlene and I first moved to America, we moved to Texas, to Waco, Texas, and have many happy memories there. And some of our closest friends are still there. And we stayed with it. We got put into a home with an older couple. They had some room, so we could stay at their place. And their names were Dan and Mercedes, just an incredible couple of faith. And Mercedes would only read from the I'd hardly ever read the Amplified Bible up to that point. And she would only read from the Amplified Bible. So this is what the Amplified Bible says about Hebrews chapter 6. It says, "Therefore, let us go on and get past the elementary stage in the teaching and doctrine of Christ the Messiah, advancing steadily towards the completeness and perfection that belong to spiritual maturity." You see, as we look ahead to all God has for us, we have an amazing opportunity to press on and become more mature. And I trust that each one of us in this place, in this room, says, "I have a desire to be more mature than I am today. I want to grow and be more mature." And so what I'd like to do is share a few lessons for those that say, "Yes, I want to press on to maturity. I'm willing to be crushed. I'm willing to be pressed. I'm willing to be squeezed and reformed so that I can become a mature woman of God or a mature man of God." If that's not you, you can just get your phone out and play Angry Birds or whatever you want to do. But this is for those that say, "I want to mature," okay? So lesson number one, we have to graduate from the elementary. We have to be willing to graduate. Therefore, leaving the elementary teachings about the Christ is what the writer says here. Now, the idea here is not to do away with or not to abandon the elementary teachings, but rather to progress beyond them into the deeper things of the Lord. That's the understanding the hearers and the readers of this would have grasped. They didn't think, "Oh, we learned that, now we can throw that out, and now we can move on to this because this is better." No, they understood this was progressive language. So we've had this elementary teaching. Now we need to move on beyond that. That's our foundation. Now it's time to go to the next level. So not to do away with something, but to build on something. Spurgeon, if you're familiar with Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a great preacher, he said this about maturity. He said, "Let us go from the school to the university. Let us have done with our first spelling books and advance into the higher classics of the kingdom of God. Children are to learn their letters in order that they may go on to higher branches of education. And believers are to know the elements of the faith, but are then to advance to the higher attainments and endeavor to understand the deeper mysteries." That's how we mature. We're willing to say, "I don't know it all." We're willing to say, "I don't have all the answers." We're willing to say, I'm ready and I'm okay to be crushed and broken so that I can come on to maturity. Now, there's nothing wrong with being an infant. All life starts that way. Like, who doesn't like chubby little cuddly babies? They're not here today, but there's a few in the church. And I know that during the worship, you're focused on Jesus, and every now and then you think, "Oh, I bet that baby smells nice." Like, not the nasty smell. I mean, you know, they've got kind of that sweet baby smell right here. I love that all four of our kids, I'll always remember, it's kind of imprinted in my smell memory is just kind of holding them as little babies. I can't imagine it now. Malachi is like 6'2", and Solomon outworks me at the gym, and I'm just so blessed with my kids. But I remember holding them and just sniffing right here, just so wonderful. We all love babies, don't we? The problem is, it's quite comfortable being a baby. Because when you're a baby, everything gets done for you. You don't have to do anything. You don't even have to walk somewhere. If you want to go over there, you're just going, "Wah!" And someone picks you up and says, oh, you want to go over there? Let me carry you over there. Oh, there we go. And then if you're hungry, you just go, wah, wah. Oh, you're hungry. Oh, let me feed you. There you go, done. Give you a little food. Wah. Oh, you're tired? Okay, let me lay you down. There's some teddy bears. There's some blankets. Wah. Oh, you want to get up? Let me get you up. It's just wonderful being a baby because everything gets done for you. Oh, it got a bit uncomfortable, didn't it? Because we transitioned from talking about soft little cuddly babies to people who go to church. It's very easy to fall in and stay in that place of being an infant as a follower of Jesus. See, our walk with the Lord, we all start as spiritual babies. But when someone acts like a baby, when they are in fact a teenager, it starts to get a bit disconcerting, doesn't it? Or a millennial or a baby boomer starts acting like a baby. That's a little problematical. See, when a follower of Jesus doesn't mature in their Christian walk, there's these elements and these traits that come out. Let me share some of them with you. And I'm not pointing the finger at anybody, but let me just share some of these. These are some examples of immaturity. Expecting the Christian life to be comfortable and pain-free. That's a sign of immaturity because the Bible doesn't promise that. Do you know, I think one of the biggest lies the church has bought into is this one. And I'm going to, like, we're about to hit a roller coaster. Oh, I feel sick. Is this lie? Hey, go live your best life now. I'm sorry, but that is absolutely unbiblical and unkingdom. Take up your cross and follow me is what the Bible says. Unless someone's willing to lay down his life, the Bible says. Consider it pure joy when you endure suffering, the Bible says. Not, oh, go and live your best life now and it's all going to be wonderful. The Bible doesn't say that. It's kind of an entitled mentality, but it's a sign of immaturity. Wanting our personal preferences to be met is a sign of spiritual immaturity. Demanding that our opinions be acted upon straight away is a sign of spiritual immaturity. Calling out, here's a good one. Getting offended, because we know offense is wrong, we call it by a different name so that we justify being offended. It's a sign of immaturity. Making decisions based on what I can get and what's best for me, it's a sign of immaturity. Inability to disagree with somebody and yet still love, respect, and walk with them. It's a sign of immaturity. And we see it in the world all the time. But brothers and sisters, we have to eradicate these things from the church. It's time to mature and grow up. I was thinking about my kids again. I did check with them before. That I don't want to embarrass them. But, yeah, too late. That's right, Doug, too late. The roller coaster has begun. We're buckled in. So, when my kids were young, when they were infants, like when we left the house, it was a pretty simple process. It was like, okay, when they're babies, let's put them in the car seat, make sure you got formula, then we go. But then it got a little more complicated. Now, let me back up. When Darlene and I didn't have any kids, do you know how we left the house? Hey, babe, you want to go out? Yeah, let's go out. Okay, let's go then. After you, darling. Okay, bye, house. And that was it. We left the house. When our kids were toddlers, everything changed the way we left the house. Hey, everyone, time to go. Nothing. Malachi, Solomon, Talia, Hezekiah, let's go. And then one would come down with maybe one piece of clothing. Oh, well, where are your shoes? Don't know where my shoes are. Solomon, why do you have Malachi's shoes on your hands? Take them off. Oh, it's cold outside. Let's get our jackets on. Have you ever tried doing the jacket up before little toddlers? Those zippers. You ever tried that? Like, if you don't have kids, it's easy. You know how you pack your jacket on? You put it on. Zip. Okay, here we go. When you're trying to put jackets on wriggly toddlers because you're desperate to get out because you don't want to be late for church, you're like, okay, let's put the jacket on. Okay, stand still. Oh, come on, zipper, come on. What are you doing, Daddy? I'm trying to get the zipper up, son. I'm trying to get the zipper. So can I be okay? Oh, broke it. Daddy, you broke my jacket. That's my favorite jacket. It's hard getting toddlers out of the house. But you see, then the toddlers grow up. Now they're teenagers. Now we've gone back to how it used to be. Hey, guys, time to go. And I just go sit in the car, start the engine, and one by one they come out. You know what? They've all got their shoes on. Solomon doesn't have Malachi's shoes on his hands anymore. Hezekiah hasn't got a jacket with a bus zipper anymore. He knows how to do this. They all come out and sit in the car, and it's all great. See, there's a sign of maturity. But we have to understand the signs of immaturity. It says in Luke chapter 8, the seed which fell among the thorns. You remember this parable Jesus told? These are the ones who've heard. As they go on their way, they're choked with worries, riches, and pleasures of this life, and they bring no fruit to maturity. Yikes. I don't want to be one who gets older and older and older. Next month is my birthday. I hit them right in the middle of the 50s. I don't want to be one that gets older and older, and it's said of me, he brought no fruit to maturity. He matured in age, but no fruit came. Just like my kids now, they put their own shoes on. They do their own jackets up. They get things taken care of, oversee their own finances, all of those things. There's maturity. I want to be one where the scripture says, Matt brought fruit to maturity. There was fruit, and there was fruit that remained. You see, many receive the word. Many start in their faith. They have an appearance of maturity, perhaps, but they allow other things to take over: worry, riches, life's pleasures, expecting the Christian life to be comfortable, demanding their opinions are acted on. You know, the list goes on. These things take over, and because of that, we never become mature. I just want to say this before I move on to the next point. If you recognize any of those traits in your life, make a decision today. You don't need intercessory healing prayer for things like that. You just have to make a decision. You just have to say, you know something? I'm going to stop being an entitled, selfish Christian. You know what? I'm going to stop demanding that my opinions be acted on. Guess what? I'm not going to make decisions based on what I can get or on my personal offenses. I'm going to mature. It takes a decision to say, Lord, would you come in and would you press me and crush me? Because I want maturity, because I want to have fruit that remains. Amen? And then we'll graduate. Lesson number two. If you haven't got this already, although it starts with a decision, maturity doesn't just come very easily. It starts easily. Yes, I want to make that decision to be mature. But it doesn't come easily. It says in this scripture, therefore, leaving the elementary teachings of Christ, let us press on to maturity. Now, I've talked about one element of the pressing and the crushing. But listen, we're not told to ease into maturity. We're not encouraged to coast and cruise into maturity. We're not instructed to gently wander through a beautiful flat field of flowers and daisies and lilies into maturity. The word says we press on to maturity. Now, one element of this pressing on is the crushing of the Lord. But there is another element. Pressing on is the same description as that was used of a ship carrying cargo overseas. Solomon, could I use you for a moment? I want you to imagine Solomon. Yes, take Talia's hairband off your wrist. That's a good idea. I want you to imagine, just stop right there, Solomon. I want you to imagine Solomon is a cruise ship, an unladen cruise ship. Solomon, would you cruise from one side of the room to the other? Just, you go for it, buddy. This is kind of how Solomon lives his life. He's faithful and steady and solid. Okay, Solomon, we're going to cruise a bit differently now because you've now come to this port. Now you're going to be fully laden. Are you ready? All right, let's cruise. Let's cruise. He's doing well. He's still cruising. And down. Good job. Solomon, which was easier? Was it easier going that way, unladen, unburdened? Or was it easier coming back with your very fit and light father on your back?
Unladen.
Unladen. Okay, thank you, buddy. Go sit down. Okay, here's the thing. That is a picture of what this word means. It says press on to maturity. Pressing on is not the easy path. Pressing on is not a quick drive-through, pick up a happy meal and get on with it. Pressing on is not driving a smooth BMW with a run-flat tires. Maturity doesn't always come easily. Maturity involves a pressing cost. It involves a pressing weight. It involves having a weight on you so you can get from one place to the other. Because the illustration, the language that's used here is of a fully laden ship, not an empty ship. And so pressing on, the point the writer to the Hebrews is making here is pressing on to maturity is not an easy thing. It involves a crushing and it involves a carrying of weight. Responsibility, doing the right thing, even if it hurts. So I want to encourage us today, let's press on together. Let's not be a people that say, you know, it's so much easier being unladened and unburdened in life. I just want to walk around like this in my Christian life. You won't grow up. You won't get mature. And by the way, the reason maturity is so important, because in the kingdom of God, freedom is only appropriate for the mature. My kids hear me say this all the time. Freedom is only appropriate for the mature. We live in a society of multiple generations that all want freedom to do what they want, when they want, whenever they want. But the truth is, freedom is only appropriate for those who are mature. Because without maturity, freedom can cause terrible incidents, accidents, and death. You would never build an elementary school next to a freeway and not put a fence around the elementary school. Because freedom is only appropriate for the mature. Let's move on to number three before you start unbuckling. Lesson number three, maturity builds upon a pre-laid foundation. So a few years ago, Darlene and I, she couldn't be here today, by the way. It's not because she doesn't like hearing me speak. Darlene and I, we had the amazing privilege of being able to design and build our own house. So it started in a restaurant on a napkin. She started drawing. She's like, man, I'd like this here, this here, and this here. And it kind of went from there. And then we started the build process. And I remember the early days and weeks of that build process. I was so frustrated. See, I love to get things done. I'm an action person. Give me a list. I'll put that list together. I'll put it in a row. I'll make a list of when I need to do on the list. And I check those boxes off and those jobs get done. I love it. I love organizing things and seeing things done. But this build process was so frustrating because I was ready for the house to go up. But there were things that had to happen. The land had to be cleared. And then the stumps all had to be pulled up. And then things had to be marked out. And diggers had to come in and dig footings. And they had to be leveled and compacted and tested. And the soil had to be tested. And they came in again and adjusted things. And this was week after week after week. And I thought, where's my house? I just wanted to build a house. And we spent, it felt like months getting the foundations right. And then they poured concrete in the foundations. And then we had to wait for a period of time while the concrete cured and set up and all of that good stuff. And now we have a house. And we love having people into our house. And here's what I've noticed about my house. When people come in, I guess it's kind of an American thing. We like to comment on the house we're going into, don't we? So people come into my house, they say, oh my, that's a nice high ceiling. Oh, thank you very much. Or some people say, oh, I do like the paint colors on the walls. Oh, thank you very much. Oh, you have really nice wooden floors. That's so nice. Yeah, thank you so much. Really appreciate that. No one has ever come into my house and said, oh my goodness, I can't help but admiring your foundations. I'm just astounded by the foundation work on this property. It's quite incredible. No one's ever said that. They've commented on the curtains and on the blinds. They've commented on the cabinets and the countertops. People comment on all the fireplace, all sorts of things. But no one's ever commented on the unseen. And yet without the unseen of the foundation, there would be no standing house. Maturity builds upon a pre-laid foundation. Therefore, leaving behind the elementary teachings about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance, etc. It doesn't say building your maturity on a different place where there's no foundation. The foundation is assumed now is in place. You see, the elementary teaching is not invalid. Actually, it's essential. Because without the unseen, we wouldn't have the seen. It's critical in our personal and our corporate maturity to have a strong foundation. These are powerful, elementary truths for us to understand and live by. They create an incredible, solid foundation for us to build a mature Christian life upon. And without the unseen foundation of our faith, you'll never have the seen fruit of maturity. Let me say that again, because some of you are taking notes and you might want to write this down. Without the unseen foundations of our faith, you will never see the fruit of maturity. Don't skip the foundation laying season. Just don't stay there. Maturity always builds on a pre-laid foundation. Let's go to lesson 4. We're almost there, people. I can hear those tummies rumbling. Sunday lunch is not far away. Maturing starts with our thinking. Often we, as Christians, especially as Spirit-filled Christians, we always want to be led by the Spirit. We follow our heart feelings, don't we? Our heart instincts. And sometimes we throw out our thinking. But the Bible has a lot to say with Spirit-led thinking, just as it does about Spirit-led walking. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20, it says this, "Brethren, do not be children in your thinking, yet in evil be infants. But," and this is what Paul says, "in your thinking," and that word thinking is about your heart and your mind. It's the part of you that perceives and judges situations, our understanding. "In your thinking, be mature." That's what Paul says. This is a big transition, a big leap for many people, learning to be mature in our thinking. You see, as we start with mature thinking, then we'll develop mature speaking and mature behaving and living. In other words, mature speaking and living is an overflow of mature thinking. If you want to speak maturely and you want to act and live maturely, it's only going to happen as we have mature thinking. That's why they say sometimes the most mature person in the room is the quietest. Sometimes the one that talks the most and seems to have all the most information to give, they're not always the wisest or the most mature. And if I'm in a room, especially in maybe a business setting, an entrepreneurial setting, or even in a church planting setting, I pay special attention to the ones that don't say very much. Because there's much wisdom often in those that don't say very much when there's a platform to speak freely. Because our thinking is what guides our speaking and our acting. Let's look at some scriptures here quickly. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says this, "Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." By the way, there are multiple words for thinking and thought in the New Testament. There's not just one. "Take every thought captive for the obedience of Christ." I wonder why Paul was so, because we all know that scripture, don't we? Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. My kids hear me say that as well often. Come on, let's take every thought captive. You've got to control your thinking. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Why? Because it's the key to maturing. The woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5. Listen to what it says of her. "For she thought, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed." She didn't just run out and grab. It started with her thinking. She thought, and then she acted. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 to set our thinking on things which are true and honorable and pure and right and just and lovely, of good repute and excellent and worthy of praise. They're the things our thinking should be set upon. You see, kingdom maturity has nothing to do with our physical age. And even though we have this expectation that the older I become, the more mature I'll become, it's not naturally and automatically the case. You see, if we've never been taught to mature our thinking, then however hard we try, immature speaking and living will just flow right out. It's like, have you ever been to the fair? Like the fair, these days the fair is kind of a scary place to go. I'm just gonna say it. If you're a big fair person, that's great. I just like, I'm on, maybe it's because I've got four kids. I'm kind of on special alert duty if ever I go to a fair. But I, as a kid, going to the fair was the most awesome thing. We'd fill our pockets up with change, and change goes a long way in the fair, especially back then. But I remember that game. I don't know if you have it in America. It's called Whack-A-Mole. You have that game? All right. Well, that's a great picture of what our words and actions are like if our thinking is not mature. It's like things just keep popping up all the time. Things just fall out. Oh, did I say that? I shouldn't have said that, really. Or did I do that? I shouldn't have done that. Did I go that? I shouldn't have. And you're always trying to bash these things down. Get down, get down, get down. And you won't do it unless you've got mature thinking. Because it's mature thinking that directs your speaking and your behavior, your acting. It has to start with maturity in thinking. If you're always complaining or grumbling, that's an overflow of immature thinking. If you find yourself putting people down whenever you have the chance, or speaking badly about somebody else or another church, that's actually an overflow of immature thinking. If we make our decisions on where we go and what we want to do purely based on what I want, that's the indication of immature thinking. If we always want to be first in line for the food and the last to help clean up, that's actually an overflow of immature thinking. There are endless examples for all of us where words and actions are simply an overflow of where our thinking is. And if you want to live and speak maturely as a follower of Christ, you've got to get your thinking right. The woman thought, if only I could touch the hem of his garment. Think on these things, says Paul. See, I believe that the Lord wants his church to be growing in maturity. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Not fruit that doesn't last or fruit that doesn't produce. And if we get our mind right, then we'll walk right and we'll talk right. We'll live as followers of Christ and we'll mature. Together, we can graduate from the elementary and leave behind childish ways. Together, even though maturing doesn't come easy, we can press on to that place of maturity. Together, we can build upon pre-laid foundations. And together, as maturity starts in our thinking, we'll think well of others, and the overflow is going to be beautiful words and actions towards one another. I want to finish with this, because some of you have thrown up a couple of times. Some of you just wanted to get off the ride. Some of you wanted to shoot the guy that pressed the button that started the ride in the first place. But now we're going to coast into the finish. And you can leave all that behind. Your stomach will settle. Your heart will settle. And we'll finish with this. Maturity is what releases your promised harvest. Mark chapter 4, 26 to 29. And he was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. He goes to bed at night, gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How? He himself doesn't know. The soil produces crop by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. You see, there's a reason to be mature, not just so we don't irritate and hurt each other all the time, but because maturity releases the harvest you've been waiting for. I believe many people's harvest has been held up because of immaturity. And that's why when I started, I said one of the most important things in the body of Christ is to grow in maturity. One of the biggest challenges we have is immaturity. Right here is why we need maturity, because maturity is what unlocks your harvest. Maybe you're looking for a harvest in your marriage, and you've been to marriage classes and counseling classes, and you've done all of those things. Or maybe what's missing is maturity. Start to be the mature one. Start to think well of your spouse. Your words and actions will follow your thinking, and you will see a harvest in your marriage. Maybe you're looking to see a harvest with your children. Just choose maturity. Remind yourself of what God has promised to you regarding your children. And then your words and actions will follow your thinking, and you're going to see a harvest. Maybe you're looking for a harvest in your finances. Or take a step of maturity. Stop having negative thinking about money. Stop thinking badly about finances. Hey, how about this? Stop thinking badly about what the church does with finances. And then your words and your actions will start following your thinking. And I tell you, you're going to see a harvest financially. Maybe you're looking for a harvest in your health. Be the mature one. Stop thinking the worst. Start taking the steps you need to take, and your words and your actions will follow your thinking if you start to think maturely about your health. Same about your job, and especially about your walk with God. If you're looking for a harvest in your walk with God, rise with maturity. Start thinking about His blessings. Darling and I, we try and pray together every day. And one of the constants we have in our prayer, we always start, whatever mess is swirling around in our lives, we always start with this: Lord, we thank You for Your blessings in our lives. We thank You for this and this and this. And thank You for what You've done through our last 29 years of marriage. Thank You, God, for what You've done. See, we're training ourselves to think, speak, and act in maturity. If you can do those things, I believe you're going to see the harvest where the harvest is lacking. Now, it's not a lottery thing where, get the numbers right, put the numbers in, get the gift, woohoo, we won the million. It's not that. God doesn't work that way. But it's about kingdom principles. Thinking maturely, speaking maturely, acting maturely. Mature fruit will follow. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Unbuckle first, then you can stand up. Thank You, Jesus. Well, Lord, here we are, just a group of Your children that want to mature. I thank You for the elementary things that we have in our lives. But Lord, we stand here together as individuals, but also as a family. And we say, God, would You now help us to better press on to maturity? As I pray, if you agree with this, you can just say amen. If you don't agree with it, then you don't have to say anything, okay? It's fine. I'm not speaking for you. I'm just speaking what's on my heart in prayer, and then you can agree with it if you want. Lord, I just say once again, I give You, even as we sang, there's room for You, Lord. I give You room to press and crush and reform me again, because I want to be mature. I don't want to stay in one form. I want to be in the form that You would have me be in. I want to be in that mature form. So have Your way, Lord. If it means me carrying a heavy load for a season, have Your way, Lord. I want to be one who matures in You. Lord, today we say we want to graduate from the elementary. I thank You for the elementary foundations that we have. But we don't want to stay there. Even as we're sending off one of our church family here, one goes off to go to that next level academically. We want to do that spiritually as well. Let that be a prophetic picture for us today. We want to do that spiritually, Lord. We want to graduate in maturity. So we make a choice, and we say that today, Lord. We want to press on, even though it may not come easily. We're willing to pay the price and do what it takes. And Lord, we know it starts with our thinking. So just for a moment, we ask You to forgive us for our inappropriate, unkingdom-like thinking. We desire to be those that think kingdom, that have our minds set on You, that even as we started, that those who fix our gaze, the gaze of our heart and mind, wants to be on You, Lord. We just adjust that now, not on our circumstances. We don't fix our gaze on our marriages, our kids, our finances, our health, our jobs, or any other portion of our lives. Our gaze is on You. Our thinking is on You, Lord God. And we thank You that You will release a maturity of harvest into our lives. Why don't you just take a moment? We're just going to be quiet. If you need to leave, that's okay. But if not, just take one moment. If there's an area where you need and you're trusting God for harvest, maybe it is your marriage. Maybe it is your children. Maybe it's something else at home, or your health, or a financial situation, or a work or job situation, or any one of 100 things. Just ask the Lord. Share with the Lord your heart that you want to have mature thinking, mature acting, mature speaking, and then start to thank Him for the harvest that's coming. Just you do that personally for a moment. We're just going to wait for 1 minute. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. And Father, we thank you as we grow in maturity individually, and as our church family matures in the things of you, that we'll not just see a harvest in our own lives, but we look to see a harvest in this area as well, in our families, in our community, in the places where we put our feet. We thank you that we'll see a harvest come. In the name of Jesus. We thank you for maturity. Thank you for pressing and for crushing. In Jesus' name, amen.